Testament reading for Sexagesima is from Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let your enemies know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth.
The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapters 11 and 12. For you gladly bear with fools, being wise yourselves. For you bear it if someone makes slaves of you, or devours you, or takes advantage of you, or puts on airs, or strikes you in the face. To my shame, I must say, we were too weak for that. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast of that. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, and toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, and hunger and thirst, often without food, and cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak? Am I not weak? Who is made to fall? Am I not indignant? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. At Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So, to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, A thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O God, you have rejected us, broken our defenses. You have been angry. O restore us. That your beloved ones may be delivered. Give salvation by your right hand and answer us.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. When a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to Jesus, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. This is the gospel of the Lord. As Jesus said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." You may be seated. You know, one of the most frustrating things as a parent is when you warn your kids to stop doing something or they will get hurt, and then not even 5 minutes after you've told them this, you hear the thump, the cries. The proclamation of the law is a text. And a text like this today warns us as Christians. Jesus is telling us the dangers of what happens when you become mute and do not hear, or deaf and do not hear his word. Jesus is admonishing you about the dangers you face in this life from the devil, the world, and your own fallen flesh. The warning is real and it's serious. And so Jesus preached this parable for his people. So let us listen again to what our Lord teaches us. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So in this well-known parable, which is kind of an arch parable, kind of a chief parable that we all know well, we first see that God preaches to you. And now that may sound a bit simple, but sometimes we overlook that fact. God preaches his word in your life, and that's nothing short of miraculous when you think about it. In that familiar Old Testament reading from the prophet Isaiah, we heard, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I send it." So God sends out his word. It goes forth and accomplishes his purposes. God's word does what he wants it to do. So he sows the seed. And he ultimately is the one who grants the growth and increase. It's God's work, and it's marvelous. But why is it then that we take this for granted? Or why, when we hear his word, it doesn't take root? Well, this is where Jesus warns you by way of three things when he explains the parable. Jesus goes on, he says, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature." So you see, you can kind of pick your poison, so to speak, when it comes to these things that happen to the seed in the parable. Despising the word of God takes on many different forms, but they all lead to the same end. It's destruction. Now, all of these reasons where the word of God is trampled, watered, or withered, devoured, and choked out, they make sense. Jesus tells us what happens. He tells us that the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. He tells us what happens to the things in this life. So there's no guessing or leaving you in suspense what happens. It's from the very mouth of our Lord. The devil attacks God's people. He attacks God's word. People fall away when hard times come because their faith was shallow and just a fair weather faith. There are those who get caught up in the cares and riches and pleasures of life. And their faith takes a back seat to the world and never does anything, and before you know it, it's left in the dust. It's a dead faith. So all of those things should terrify you when you hear Jesus speak those words, because you hear that, and then you look at your lives. You look at the lives of your friends, your family, and you see these things not just as a parable heard in church, but something firsthand around you. And this is where you see this warning and examine your life according to what Jesus says. So you ask yourself these questions as you hear these words of your Lord. Do you have cares in this life? Are the devil and his minions around trying to choke out your faith in Christ? Are you tempted to ignore God's word and get caught up in what's going on around you? Is the world defining how you live your life, or is God's word a lamp that lightens the path on which you walk through this world? As one who is a regular hearer of the word of God, are you tempted to grow complacent and apathetic and view your Christian faith in light of or defined by fruits rather than the word, such as an experience it creates in your life, or how it makes you feel, or what you think it should make you feel, rather than looking to God's steadfast word regardless of what you may think you may get out of it or the response you may have at a momentary instance? Or expand this out just as well even to the church as a whole. Does the church see its fruitfulness by how many people it sees around them on any given Sunday? Or does it see it rather in terms of faithfulness to God's word being faithfully taught and preached? So you see the all-encompassing nature of this, that our Lord calls us to examine our lives. He calls us to see the danger, to stay awake, to watch out, and repent. So these warnings are to each one of us, lest we become that seed taken away, falls away from the faith, or simply have a dead faith that doesn't produce, rather it just goes through the motions. All of these are eternally deadly. And all of these you are warned against, lest you fall prey. And so in the church, you have been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. The Spirit has been given to you, and you are preached these things and know what God says. The words of Jesus to you are the words of the Savior, and you have ears to hear. Having ears to hear, then, you carefully listen and you take seriously these warnings. You realize, too, and understand that you need to be a hearer of the word. You know when you look at yourself apart from Christ, you see bad soil. You see your life. You see the dangers you walk in all the way as the devil is wanting to devour you any way he can. You know the temptation to view your Christian faith not lived in view of and under the cross of suffering, persecution, and the daily dying to sin and rising to new life. And you're called to recognize the danger in times of joy, even, insofar as you can become complacent. And then when times of trial do come, simply the danger to retreat away from hearing the word of God and live lives apart from it. And so God admonishes you to a faith that doesn't simply sit and let the word of God go in one ear and out the other. But take it to heart what you hear each and every day through his word, what you hear as you gather in this place, to listen. As Jesus says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And so learning from this parable, then, you see your life in Christ. And you seek the things of God, and as the baptized who do heed these warnings and listen to his instruction. So listen again to that last group Jesus spoke about. As for the good soil, there are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. And you see, that's what your life in Christ is to look like. Did you catch there, too, how very different it is from those previous groups that Jesus mentions? Jesus says, hold it fast in an honest and good heart. Well, an honest and good heart is one that acknowledges and confesses his sin. He's honest about who he is before God. He knows his goodness comes only from the one who alone is good and perfect, Jesus. He has created in him a clean heart and a renewed right spirit within him. And this good soil bears fruit with patience. Bearing fruit comes from the faith that is fed, nurtured, and cultivated by God who has given this faith through his word. It lives and grows as it continues to hear God's word and receive his sacraments because it knows this is where salvation is given and looks to the sower of the seed, Christ, as Matthew's gospel account tells us. That is who the sower is, for he is the very life. And all of this is done in patience, a fruit of the Spirit, which suffers, which endures, which is steadfast, knowing that your labor is not in vain, knowing that there is a future glory to come beyond compare. And these fruits then show forth a living act of faith. As you go home and talk about the word, you talk about it with your wife, your husband, your kids, your grandkids, your friends, your neighbors. You're living in this very word of God. And you know and live what it looks like to see God's word as it gives Christ an eternal life to people who in their sin rightly deserve hell. The good soil doesn't just hear the word and forget about it, but soaks it up as a parched ground, savoring every drop of water to quench it. It confesses this word in words and actions. It bears fruit because God produces this in your life, and the mercy of God spills out over into the lives of others. God's cup overflows as the Christian forgives and confesses the faith. This is all what Jesus is teaching you today, then, as he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so, dear saints of God, finally and most importantly, take comfort in all of this before you this morning, because you have the Savior. You have the sower of the seed. Look to him alone. Cling to him because he is the one who didn't fall to the temptation of the devil. He is the one who is the very word of God made flesh, who was never complacent, but set his face like flint toward Jerusalem and was faithful during times of trial, great suffering. He is the one who said to his disciples in John 12, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." And you see, he is the one who has done it and is finished, and it's all for you. So hear. Hear as you have been given ears to hear and see Jesus crucified for you and risen, proclaiming to you that you are forgiven and have eternal life. Baptized into Christ, this is all yours. Hear his word, knowing that the secrets of the kingdom of God are yours. Feast at his supper and find refreshment for your souls. As your sin is forgiven, you have life and salvation. Find rest in Jesus, who is the Lord of the Sabbath and sows the seed of the word of in your life, and he accomplishes what he sends it to do, and he has. You are redeemed by the blood of Christ. You have eternal life. Hear this, as you have been given ears to hear, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.